Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Giving Up the Boss by Victoria Davies. Narrated by Kit Swan. Chapter 1. I quit. The breath left her lungs as she said the words. She'd practiced them a dozen times, but there was a massive difference between talking to her own reflection and saying them aloud to the man of her dreams. Lori lifted her chin and forced herself not to fidget. She was a professional. In theory, anyway. She could survive this. Couldn't she?
What did you say?
She shivered as Jackson's deep, velvety voice rolled over her. Stand strong. I quit, she said again. Proud when her voice didn't waver. I'd offer to give 2 weeks' notice, but I doubt either of us wants to draw this out. Better if I leave today and make a clean break. I already have a few candidates for my replacement in mind. The man behind the desk said nothing as he studied her. How many times had she been on the receiving end of that piercing blue stare? I can take it one last time. Because after today, she'd no longer be an employee of Sinclair Enterprises, and she'd never again have the intensity of the CEO's gaze centered on her. Chin up, shoulders back, can't crack now. She wouldn't waver when it had taken so long to finally pull the trigger. Lori was the perfect executive assistant, calm in a crisis, prepared for anything, ready to jump in at a moment's notice. For years, she'd worked alongside Jackson Sinclair, the genius who controlled a billion-dollar empire. Years of seeing him flash his smile as he closed deals for amounts that made her mind boggle. Years of being his patient shadow, ready with all the information he could possibly need at her fingertips. Years of watching him look at everyone but her. And she was done. I deserve more than being the afterthought of a wealthy man. But while that was all true, it didn't prepare her for the reality of standing in front of him, telling him she was walking out of his life forever. I should have done this in an email, or with an HR army at my back. Coming alone was a mistake. Jackson rose slowly to his feet. He rounded the desk, buttoning his black Armani jacket as he moved toward her. The damned thing fit his body as if it had been made for him, which, knowing Jackson, it probably had. It always seemed utterly unfair to her that he'd been blessed with a brain that never stopped and a body that drew every eye in the vicinity to him. How many times had she wanted to brush the dark hair back from his eyes, or cup that chiseled jaw? Even in her heels, she'd have to stand on her tiptoes to reach those full lips. And how she'd wanted to. Far too many fantasies had played out on an endless loop in her head. Ones where she'd trip and he'd catch her, pulling her up against that rock-hard chest. Or better yet, she'd lean over him to look at a briefing, only to find herself pulled onto his lap. Or skip the pretense altogether. Just lock the door, pop the blouse, and see where the afternoon takes us. They'd been good fantasies. Her faithful companions for years, really. They'd been the reason she hadn't moved on when other opportunities had presented themselves. The reason she'd turned down invitations to dinner from men much closer to her league. They were the reason she couldn't leave him. Until now.
If it's about money.
She laughed, cutting him off. It's not.
Then what? You have to admit this is sudden.
But it's not. If you'd ever paid any attention to me, you would have seen this coming. It's time I moved on, she replied. I don't want to be your assistant forever. He shrugged.
Then pick a job. We can find you a different position if you aren't feeling fulfilled. What do you want?
You. I want you.
a lifetime with you.
But those weren't words she could say. She knew him better than anyone did, and that particular confession would send him sprinting from the room. She was not the woman for Jackson, and it was time she faced that truth.
I want to leave, she said. Please let me go.
He stopped before her, those icy blue eyes seeing far more than she ever wanted him to.
I don't let important things slip away without a fight.
Things, not people. I'm just an accessory to him.
Her heart cracked a little more, even as she lifted her chin higher. She could do this. She just needed to focus and remember the hours she'd spent practicing. Sure, her mirror might not have been the greatest stand-in for Jackson, but the basic routine was still the same.
Say your speech and get the hell out of Dodge. Enough of this.
It's time for me to branch out and tackle new challenges, she said. The words rote. I will always appreciate my time here and the skills I've learned. I thank you for many good years at Sinclair Enterprises. It will be hard to leave it behind.
Then why are you going?
Because I'm moving forward with my life, and no longer feel that the goals of the company and my personal endeavors align as they once did.
Stop it.
He touched her then, his hand cupping her arm as he pulled her closer.
Stop talking to me like I'm HR.
Her heart beat faster as she stared up at him.
You've stood by my side for years. We've holed up in this office working till dawn more times than I can count. Don't you think you owe me more than this?
This is a job, and I've given my notice. That's all there is to say. His gaze dropped to the hand touching her arm. She waited in silence as he processed her words and did her best not to let his nearness divert her attention.
Focus. Ignore that scent of his. What is it? Ode to Torture by Calvin Klein?
Whatever is wrong, I can fix it,
he said at last, those eyes returning to hers.
No, you can't, she whispered.
He couldn't be someone he wasn't. She'd never want him to try. This wasn't on him. It was her stupid heart that had crossed professional boundaries. Her ridiculous crush that was driving her away from the best position she'd ever had. But if she didn't go now, she'd be stuck wasting her life while she watched him from the sidelines, and that scared her more than anything else. An expression she couldn't name raced across his face before it was gone so fast she wasn't even sure whether it had just been her imagination.
Don't go.
Her breath caught in her throat. He'd never looked at her the way he was now. There was a healthy dose of disbelief, but there was also something else, a desperation almost, to make her stay. People didn't walk away from the Sinclairs, not without a damn good explanation. And what could she say? Sorry, I've fallen hopelessly in love with you, and I don't think that will lead to a productive working environment. They didn't exactly make Hallmark cards for sentiments like that. Steeling herself against the hardest thing she'd ever had to do, she stepped away from his touch.
I'm sorry, she said. I really am. But I'm not staying.
All my projects have been either wrapped up or passed off to the right people. A temp is already in my office, and my top interview picks are scheduled to come in tomorrow during your mid-morning lull. So it shouldn't take too much of your time. You'll be fine without me.
Have you been headhunted to another company?
He demanded.
Is that it? Running off to join my rivals?
Never,
she breathed. He paced around her.
None of this makes any sense.
Maybe, but you're not the person who needs to be okay with this decision. I am.
I don't have anything else to say.
No, you came in here with your bland, practiced lines that don't say anything at all, and expected me to, what, shake your hand and wish you well?
She held out her hand to him. Yes, He eyed her outstretched palm like it was a snake.
Like hell.
Jackson.
Give me a damn reason.
I can't.
With a sigh, she let her hand drop. Closing the distance to him, she allowed herself one tiny slip. Rising to her toes, she brushed the lightest of kisses to his cheek, closing her eyes for the briefest of moments before stepping back. I'll never forget our time together, or the work we accomplished, and I know with all my heart that you will be fine. This is a very small bump in the road for you, and you'll be back on your feet by next week with a new assistant who's even better than I am. Promise.
There's no one better.
Her heart twisted. Just wait and see, she whispered. You'll forget all about me in no time. Truer words had never been spoken. It was just too bad she'd spend a lifetime remembering him. With a last, long look, she turned and walked from the office. In a daze, she made her way back to her desk and grabbed her purse and the last packed-up box. The rest were already in her trunk. She'd said her goodbyes and exchanged tearful hugs with the other EAs. There was nothing left to keep her here. Her throat was tight as she rode the elevator down to the parking garage. She managed to keep it together almost all the way to her car. But the moment she sat behind the wheel, there was no stopping the torrent of tears that came from a broken heart. She'd done it. She was free. And for the first time in years, she was well and truly alone. Throwing her box into the passenger seat, she dropped her head to the steering wheel and sobbed as if her heart had been ripped from her chest. Go home. Get out of here and fall apart in the comfort of your own apartment. That's where the wine lives. Wine sounded like the very best idea she'd ever had. Lifting her head, she glanced at herself in the overhead mirror and grimaced. There was no saving the mascara streaked down her face. Brushing at it in a half-hearted attempt to remove the smudges, she fished her keys from her purse and started the car. Time to leave.
I have to get away, to put as much distance as I possibly can between me and Jackson.
Then maybe she could get over him and heal. They'd just been a victim of their circumstances, that was all. It wasn't his fault he'd never been attracted to her any more than it was hers for falling for the wrong guy.
She'd put a city between them, and everything would work out. Life would go back to being normal once again.
Her tires squealed as she took a corner faster than she should have.
Slow down. Breathe.
The exit was almost there. She could see the sun shining beyond Sinclair Enterprises. She was so close. Until a man stepped into her path. Lori slammed the brakes, but it was too little too late. Her car crashed into the man, sending his body tumbling over the hood before he disappeared off the side.
Oh God, oh God, oh God,
she chanted as she finally pulled the car to a halt and jumped out. She ran over to the prone figure laying on the ground with his back to her.
Please be alive, she begged. Please don't let me have just killed a man.
Gripping his shoulder, she gently rolled him over and bit back a cry.
She hadn't plowed into just anyone. No, the man she'd had to go and mow down with her car was the very person she was trying to escape. Oh God, Jackson, what have I done?
Chapter 2. Something was beeping. He frowned, or tried to, at least. Even that small change in his expression sent needles of pain stabbing into his brain. Hissing in a breath, he tried to figure out what he was doing in a dark, pain-filled world.
I think he's waking up,
a voice said. It was soft, light, and feminine. Something tugged at him, telling him he should know that voice. But the instinct was fleeting and gone in a second as he tried to open his eyes. Light seared his already battered brain, making his body twist in agony.
"Let's up his pain meds,"
a male voice said, filled with authority and surety. He was dimly aware of activity going on around him before some of the pain ebbed. Still, he waited another minute before trying to open his eyes again. When he did, several things became clear. The first thing he saw was the white, sterile hospital room. The second was a woman leaning over him, her hazel eyes filled with a worry so deep, he might have said it bordered on panic. The dark blonde hair around her face was pulled back in a messy bun, as if she'd done it automatically instead of intentionally. Blood dotted her white dress shirt, and he thought he saw a trace on her cheek as well. Instinct made him try to lift his hand to wipe it away, but while his fingers rose a few inches from the bed, they fell just as quickly.
What?
Step aside, miss,
the doctor said, ushering the woman away. She moved to the foot of his bed but refused to go any farther, her eyes never leaving his.
Mr. Sinclair, I'm Dr. Warren, the senior physician in charge of your care.
You gave us a scare there. We're all very lucky your accident wasn't any worse.
The word wouldn't form properly, but it appeared he didn't need to say more.
Car accident,
the doctor clarified.
You were hit and thrown over the hood of the car. You've got some bad scratches and a fractured wrist, but given the circumstances, your injuries could have been far more severe. Ms. Carlo called the ambulance immediately. You were here in minutes.
Carlo. Something about that name made his gaze go back to the woman at his bedside.
I'm sorry, she said,
her voice broken and watery.
I'm so sorry, Jackson.
He frowned again, this time with far less pain.
Jackson,
he breathed, managing to get the whole word out. The doctor leaned over him.
Yes?
It took concentration for him to form the words he needed to get out.
Who?
The woman came up the left side of his bed and took his hand, careful of the tubes and IVs still running into him.
It's okay, she said. You're getting the best medical care money can buy. Literally. I've called your brother, and he's on his way, too. He'll be here any minute. You're not alone.
Her touch calmed something inside him. Something he couldn't even name yet, even though he felt the storm coming.
I should have been paying more attention,
she whispered, her eyes filling with tears.
I should have been more careful. I'm always careful. I think everything through 20 times before I act, and the one time I don't.
She hung her head.
I swear to you, I'll make this right. Okay, Jackson, anything you need.
He licked his lips, ready to try one more time.
Good,
he croaked.
Then tell me.
She raised her head.
What? Tell you what?
Who is Jackson?
Clearly he suffered some head trauma.
You think? Lori snapped. Dr. Warren leveled an even stare at her. She merely arched a brow in response. Leaning against the nurse's station, she crossed her arms.
One of the richest men in the country is lying in a bed 10 feet away unconscious, and you want to take issues with my tone?
My apologies. All I meant is, traumatic events are difficult to cope with.
Tell me about it.
She ran a hand over her face.
I mean, it's not every day you run over your boss. And I know some people might think I'm living the dream here, but I actually liked working for him.
The doctor reached out to touch her hand.
Accidents happen. Blaming yourself won't do any good.
Trust me. He'd blame me, too, if he could remember who I was.
She squeezed her eyes shut.
Oh my God, he's going to kill me when he finally remembers.
Dr. Warren cleared his throat.
He will remember, right?
She demanded, opening her eyes.
Amnesia is a hard thing to predict. There is still just too much we don't know about the brain. In all likelihood, yes, he will remember who he is eventually, but I can't make any absolute promises at this stage in his treatment.
But what sort of timeline are we looking at?
It's hard to say, and I can't get into the specifics of his case, since you're not family.
She jerked back, stung.
You have no right to be upset. You have no legal claim here. He's nothing to you. Not anymore. You don't even work for him.
There must be something you can tell me. I need to know he'll be okay.
We're doing everything in our power to take care of Mr. Sinclair, I assure you. But I'm afraid that's all I can tell you until a family member arrives.
Talk about making an entrance.
They both turned to see a tall, dark-haired man striding toward them.
Mark,
Lori greeted. Jackson's younger brother barely spared her a glance.
I was about to get on a plane to Melbourne when my phone rang. Imagine my surprise to learn my only family is in the hospital, apparently put there by his right-hand woman.
I didn't mean to.
Finally get tired of jumping to his demands?
Mark asked, turning to her, his gaze so similar to his brother's.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Sure, employees run down CEOs all the time.
I swear to God!
Honestly, with the hours he makes you work, I'm surprised you didn't do this sooner.
She ground her teeth.
There's only so many ways I can say accident.
I'd settle for a single convincing one.
This isn't helpful,
the doctor interrupted.
Our main concern is the patient. Mr. Sinclair has minor injuries apart from his head trauma. He has some scrapes, a fractured wrist, and a head wound that bled profusely, but there should be no lasting physical damage. That's the good news. If you'd like to follow me to a private room, I can debrief you on his condition further.
Mark waved his hand.
Lori might have had a brief fit of homicidal rage.
I did not!
But she's the closest thing he has to a support system outside of myself. You can tell us together.
All right.
The best outcome here is that his amnesia is a temporary state, brought on by the blow to the head he suffered and the trauma. As his body recovers, he may get his memories back. I've seen patients have this sort of memory haze for only a few hours.
So he could be back to normal very soon,
Mark said.
He could.
Or? Lori asked. What's the other option?
Or it could take considerably longer. Some patients take weeks, if not months, to heal. In rare cases, some memory damage is permanent.
Her heart plummeted. She may have maimed the love of her life forever. Jackson's brain was the reason he was able to rise so high. He ruled the family empire with an iron fist, never forgetting so much as a decimal point, and now she'd wiped out his entire life?
Mark stared at his brother. His expression could have been carved from granite.
A few weeks,
he murmured.
How long will he need to stay in the hospital?
Dr. Warren sighed.
Physically, there's not much else I can do for him. I'd like to keep him overnight for observation, but we can have him in his own bed tomorrow. Doctor, we're going to need that private room now,
Mark said, his voice grim. She glanced at him in surprise. We do?
Of course. Right this way.
Bewildered, Lori followed the two men down the hall and into a small room with a few chairs and a table.
Have the nurse page me if you have any other questions,
Dr. Warren said, before showing himself out and closing the door behind him. Mark waited until they heard the click of the door before rounding on her.
We have a problem.
What was your first clue?
I don't just mean Jackson's accident. You could not have run him over at a worse time.
She groaned, collapsing into one of the chairs at the table.
I would never have hurt him on purpose.
Mark's expression was anything but sympathetic.
What I'm going to tell you can't leave this room. Got it?
She held up a hand. Wait, I quit this morning. I'm not a Sinclair employee, and you shouldn't tell me any sort of confidential information.
There was no masking the surprise that flashed across his face. What the hell happened to you two today?
It's a long story, she said, before thinking twice. Actually, no, it should be a long story, but in reality, I quit and then ran him down. That's about the gist. She dropped her head into her hands. It's all my fault.
So help me fix it. As of this moment, you are officially unquit.
She glanced at him. That's not a word.
Don't care. More is at stake here than your guilt, and I need you to step up. Until my brother is back to normal, you need to be exactly what you've always been. His most trusted assistant, the person always by his side. No one will question why you're suddenly going to be spending so much time with him. You're perfect.
Perfect for what?
To help me cover this up.
Her jaw dropped. Have you lost your mind? Your brother doesn't even remember his own name, and you want him to, what, run a billion-dollar empire?
Yes.
Not happening.
If it doesn't, we'll lose the company.
She blinked. What? He ran a hand down his face.
Hindcore is snapping at our heels. The market isn't big enough for the two of us, and they're making moves to take on a merger that would squeeze us out. If this deal goes through, the company my family has spent generations building will be over.
Her jaw dropped.
Our shareholders can't find any of this out. If they get a whiff they're backing a sinking ship, they could change course and jump to our competitors. Our stock would tank and we'd all be out on the street.
Okay, but why can't you step in to run the company while Jackson recovers somewhere far away from reporters?
Because I need to be in Australia tomorrow, securing an alliance that will allow us to survive the next few months. This deal is our life raft. And if I'm not on the other side of the world to navigate these talks, it won't matter what Jackson remembers. The company will be gone.
But I quit, she whispered. I wanted to get away from the Sinclairs, not more deeply entwined. For the first time, Mark's expression softened.
I don't know what came to a head today, but I do know Jackson needs you. That's been true since the day you first walked into his life. Can you really leave him like this?
No, and we both know it.
Independence could wait. She'd royally screwed up Jackson's life, and if she could do anything to put it back together, she needed to try.
So, what's the grand plan?
She asked wearily. We'll say he fractured his wrist playing racquetball to explain the wrappings and the hospital stay. I'll get on a plane tonight, and tomorrow when he's released, you'll take him home.
Which home?
Yours for now. Less eyes.
Don't you think people might question why the man who has never so much as visited my apartment now lives with me?
Can you say you're having an affair?
She shot him a murderous look.
Right, sorry. No one would buy that.
Knife in the heart. Twisting.
Thanks, she said, her voice deadpan.
He waved a hand.
You know what I mean. My brother is impossible at the best of times. You'd never want to date him.
Wouldn't I?
But you're right. Let's scratch your place. Take him to his house and stay with him there. You can say you two are working on some top secret business and he needs you close at hand at all times.
I get him home and then what? I coach him through his days?
Exactly. Come on, Cyrano. Step up and take one for the team.
Your family is not my team.
It is for the next few weeks. You know the business and his schedule. Help him pretend to be himself until I can get this deal locked in. After that, we can reevaluate.
And if it's not a few weeks? What if his memory never comes back like Dr. Warren said? He dragged a hand through his hair in a way that was so similar to Jackson, it made her heart clench.
Then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. For now, we just need to make sure thousands of people don't lose their jobs.
Laying it on a little thick, aren't you? I need your head in the game.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?